Welcome to Zero Downtime, the new podcast brought to you by DCD's editorial team in partnership with Vertiv, the world's leading critical infrastructure provider.
Vertiv has kept the world's leading businesses connected for more than 50 years. We build, deliver, and support critical infrastructure that's available, sustainable, and future-ready. Visit us at vertiv.com and see what we can do for you.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the latest episode of DCD's Zero Downtime. I'm DCD's telecoms editor, Paul Lipscomb, and today I'm joined by Martin Kreener, Director General at the World Broadband Association, or abbreviated as the WBBA. Hi, Martin. Thank you for joining us today.
Hey, Bob.
How are you doing? Are you good?
Good. Good. Yeah, nice weekend. Nice, relaxing, long weekend in Ireland, so ready to get back at it.
Absolutely the same here in the UK as well. We had a nice bit of weather for once, so yeah, back to it now. A four-day week, the first of quite a few four-day weeks coming up for us.
You do, actually. Yeah, you're going to make that a habit. Yeah,
It feels like it. But no, first of all, Martin, it would be good to get a bit more information about yourself and your career, and you know, also an introduction to what the WBBA is.
Sure. So I'm a telecoms guy. I've been a telecoms guy for a ridiculously long time. Worked with British Telecom for about a decade, worked with Motorola. I spent about 12 or 15 years as the president and CEO of the Telemanagement Forum, which is the global standards body for the software side of the telecoms industry, is maybe the best way to describe it. I've also got a consultancy business where I've been advising companies for many years. I'm an entrepreneur, so I've set up and launched and sold a number of different companies in our space, in the mobile gaming space, in the IoT space. I've written a number of books in the whole area of the telecoms industry. Most recent book is called Transforming the Telco, which is all about the digital transformation challenge of the telecoms industry and trying to look at that in a very broad, big picture. And most recently, over the last sort of 12 months, I have taken on the role as Director General of the World Broadband Association to really bring it through this, its early stage of formation and launch and making sure that it's structured and pointed in the right direction. So that's me briefly encapsulated. So all of that history is really in the telecoms industry since the mid-80s, would you believe? So I am old and grey now, and I've stuck with the industry. Even though I've dabbled around the gaming industry and the IoT industry, I've always had a foot very firmly in the telco industry.
Yeah, I can imagine the telecoms industry is very different from the 80s to what it is now. And also the Transforming the Telco, I've got that book on order, so it should be coming soon, so I'm looking forward to reading that.
Brilliant.
But yeah, so that's a very interesting background you've got there. What about the WBBA then? What's taken us there? How have you got to this point to set this up? And you know, what is the WBBA for our listeners as well?
Yeah, so first of all, it's another acronym, but it's the World Broadband Association. And it is an organization that's been set up relatively recently. The first discussions about it were in mid-2021 in the ITU, and it was formed as a Swiss nonprofit in October 2022, October last year. And it's been up and running really for about the last 6 to 9 months. And its focus really, it's about creating, I suppose, an open member-led organization that creates some sort of platform to drive broadband cooperation and partnership across the whole industry and to accelerate broadband adoption everywhere in the world. And you know, if you believe the argument that broadband is a good, it is a good global good, it doesn't matter where you are, whether you're in Birmingham or Botswana, having broadband improves your life. It improves your ability to do business. It improves your access to information, your access to education, your access to healthcare. It improves equality. It's so broadband is an absolute good as far as I'm concerned, and as far as the WBBA is concerned. And so what we've done is create an industry organization to try and advocate for that and to make it happen in whatever way we can, whether it's not really about the technology, because technology is well covered everywhere in the world, but it's more about, can we reduce the barriers to getting broadband into every business, into every home, into every village across the world? Can we understand the things that maybe slow that down? And then can we, you know, remove those roadblocks?
Absolutely. And so I was good. My next question was, you know, what's the purpose of the Worldwide Broadband Association? I think you've really answered it. It's to get everybody connected. You know, for businesses as well, broadband is so vital. To have that level of broadband that is, it underpins the business sector so much. What would you say then was really the thing that made you decide to set this up? And you said it was set up in 2021. Was there like a something that went off, like, we've got to get this sorted out?
Yeah, I think it was. I mean, it wasn't so much, I wasn't involved at the time of the very first discussions, but essentially my understanding is that this was kicked off as a discussion in the ITU, so which is, I suppose, the overarching body for all of telecommunications everywhere in the world. And it was a question that was asked saying, how come we don't have something that for the broadband industry that we do have for the mobile industry, i.e. we have GSMA for the mobile industry. GSMA has done a fabulous job for the mobile industry since the early to mid-90s. And the question was asked, broadband in its broad sense and fiber and so on is equally important to the future of the world. And yet there's nothing that really matches the GSMA for the broadband industry. And why is that? And that kicked off a number of discussions, a bit of soul searching from a whole load of companies and industry bodies. And it was essentially concluded that what we need is to create a business association and an advocacy association for broadband to do all the things I've just mentioned about accelerating the availability of broadband everywhere in the world. And so that was really the very genesis, because if you look at somebody like, you know, what GSMA has done for the mobile industry, I mean, they've done a fabulous job. You know, first of all, it may be, you know, it's a simple, clear messaging about what the mobile industry is all about. There's hardly a person on the planet who doesn't know the concept of 2G, 3G, 4G, 5G, you know, which are, you know, they might know how those things work, but they know they exist. And that's fabulous, clear messaging of the industry. And then, of course, it's an industry association that creates a place to do business, GSMA is, and that's brilliant. And whilst, it, you know, there's lots of places for the broadband industry through business, the reality is there's nothing in the broadband industry that's anything like the Mobile World Congress that GSMA creates. And then, of course, as an advocate for the industry, it makes the arguments for why it's good. And when people push back and cause issues about the industry, it's a central point to come to try and address those problems or shine some light on those problems. And then, of course, it's truly global. You know, and that's, you know, increasingly in this world, it is difficult to become truly global, you know, where you are relevant to every country in the world and you're relevant and you're equally accepted everywhere in the world. So your question around, you know, what was the need? It was basically saying, wouldn't it be great if something like that existed for the broadband industry, and how could we create it? How could we create it to be truly global, to be a place to do business, an advocate of the industry, and something that provides the clarity in the industry that, you know, the GSMA does for the mobile world?
Yeah, I mean, I fully agree. I think the GSMA, yeah, that's some brilliant things for mobile. And MWC is easily my favorite show of all the trade shows around.
Yeah.
But no, I know we've spoken previously about the GSMA. And you said you wanted to create a body for the broadband industry, such as what they've done for mobile. What exactly do you think you've seen that they've done especially good that you want to replicate for the Worldwide Broadband Association?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose, you know, you mentioned MWC and Mobile World Congress in Barcelona is a must-attend event for pretty much everybody in the industry. And it doesn't disappoint. You know, it's not just an event everybody goes to, but it's an event that has the best speakers, it has fabulous content. It is really and truly a place to do business. So that is a hugely valuable thing that GSMA has created for the mobile industry. And we would love in the WBBA to create something similar for the broadband industry. And so we have events, even though we're still in our early stages, we have created a number of events. We ran an event last year. We've got a number of third-party events. We have our big event scheduled in Paris in October 2023. And our ambition is that we can create an event that becomes a magnet for the broadband industry to come together and talk and do business. And the other thing, as I mentioned, you know, that GSMA has done that we are very much focused on, and in many cases it's almost more important in the broadband industry than it has been in the mobile industry, is to become an advocate for the industry. Because one of the biggest challenges that an industry like broadband faces is how do you accelerate the rollout of broadband, considering it does very often involve, nearly always involve, digging up roads and so on, and getting around those very prosaic operational issues, and they're different in every country. And how do you structure maybe government incentives for it? How can you find the best practice in government incentives in one region and translate them into another region? How do you create a clear link between the economic benefits of broadband and what it will actually do for an economy? There's been a lot of studies by academics at the moment, you know, saying that if you put connectivity into a village, you will grow the GDP of that village. And if you put fiber in, you'll grow by even more. But we need more of that data. We need those data points, because those are data points that really shift the thinking of the decision makers in every country in the world. If you've already got broadband in the UK and Sweden and Ireland, then how do you make it better? Because there's so much demand. You mentioned industry. And increasingly, we're going to find that every industry in the world, from manufacturing to healthcare to education to retail, will be placing specific demands on their connectivity, many of which may or may not be able to be met with 5G and 6G, depending on just the speed required, the latency required, the reliability required, and so on. And so I think what we're going to be looking at in the future is that business are going to place stronger and stronger demands onto the broadband industry. And we need an industry organization that's able to understand and translate those demands back into the people who are actually creating the broadband. So I think the benefits that GSMA has done for the mobile industry, you know, our vision is that there's a need to do it GSMA has done for the mobile industry. There's a need to do it for the broadband industry, and WBBA is going to be the body that does that.
Fantastic. And just on the subject of challenges, you mentioned briefly about accelerating broadband rollout, and you mentioned some of the challenges such as digging up the roads. I mean, what would you say some of the real big challenges are for the broadband industry? Is it getting permission to build in certain areas and to lay fiber cables and certain parts of, say, a big city? What are the biggest challenges as an industry do you face?
Well, as you would be well aware, they're probably different in different parts of the world, right? So in some places, it's overcoming local statutes in order to rapidly roll out fiber into a 500-year-old rural environment. In other cases, it's trying to roll out fiber into an advanced city. In other cases, it's trying to roll out fiber into impoverished villages in parts of Africa or Latin America or Asia. And so there's lots of different challenges in different parts of the world. And one of the things we're very focused on is trying to understand the nature of those challenges and what's the most important thing. But if I was kind of thinking of maybe my top three or four challenges that are pretty ubiquitous, one is the general challenge of how do you roll out quickly and efficiently so that you can get fiber to where it's needed at the cost level that is required and in a timely fashion. I think there's a general belief that, and you've probably done different podcasts on this topic, of reducing carbon emissions. And the whole telecoms industry is very, very focused at the moment on how do we do our part in reducing our carbon footprint. And one of the great ways to do this is to roll out fixed broadband at a large scale right across the world, because fixed broadband, particularly fiber broadband, is much more energy efficient than any of the other technologies by which we can connect. And it's also much more resilient and so on. But also, if you say the UK is, had this conversation with a number of UK members recently, and they were talking about copper switch off. The challenge in the UK, copper is much more energy intensive. And so they would love to be able to fiber up the whole country, but there's lots of laws that say when, how long do you have to support both copper and fiber, and it's only when you've got an X percent penetration that you will be able to switch off copper and make those energy savings and those cost savings. So that's another big, and that challenge exists in many countries in the world. And then there's I alluded to it earlier, the whole idea of matching broadband capabilities with industry needs. There's almost an assumption that if you build it, they will come. That old Field of Dreams movie. If you build broadband with 1 gigabit or 10 gigabits capacity and 10 milliseconds latency and certain levels of reliability, if you build it, industry will use it. And I think that there's a shifting mindset to say, why don't we ask industry what they actually need and when they need it? Because we could be going ultra high bandwidth or ultra low latency, and really the main factor they're interested in is ultra high reliability. They don't need the bandwidth. They don't need the latency at the moment. They might need it in 2030 or 2035. What they need at the moment is and so when you... It's really trying to understand, rather than just build it as big and as fast as we possibly can we match what we build to the needs of industry and consumers? And so that's one of the other big question marks, because everybody I speak to, nobody really knows the answer to those questions at the moment. And so there's a lot of research going on in the WBBA at the moment to really try and understand how do we match that demand side need to the supply side.
Absolutely. Obviously, you're saying that, the challenges that you face in the industry. What is it would you say that you guys can offer the broadband industry? What exactly is your role to help them into getting a body that succeeds, really?
Yeah, I mean, it's an industry organization, and so its role really is to represent the industry. When I say the industry, I mean, all of the various stakeholders. So best way to think about it is there's a supply side in the industry, which are the people who make broadband. Those are the operators and their key suppliers, BT's or France Telecom, Orange or Deutsche Telekom or whoever's making broadband, and their key suppliers, their Nokias and Huawei's and Ericsson's and so on. And then on the demand side, there are the people who consume broadband. And by that, I mean people, you know, it's either those industries I talked about, manufacturing and healthcare and so on, or education, or else it's the consumers. And if you look at the emergence of things like the metaverse and the demands that the gaming industry is now putting onto broadband, as maybe an early example of how the metaverse is going to start putting a lot of stress onto broadband capabilities. So that, and then the other key players are governments and investors, as well as the major cloud players and so on. And if you look at all of those key players, that's the ecosystem that the WBBA is addressing. And we are actively trying to bring all of those players and a representation from all those players into the WBBA. And what the WBBA has been doing for the last 9 months is really working with those various players. It's been developing working groups to try and address some of the topics I talked about. You know, define the next few generations of broadband in an easy to understand way. Build up a view of the benefits of broadband. We have a group called the Broadband Advocacy Group, which is really trying to understand and quantify the benefits of broadband and also the success stories of broadband, because you're in the telecoms industry and I've been in it forever. And the reality is the telecoms industry loves copying success. Most industries probably do that. And so what we've been trying to capture is success in the broadband rollout, whether it's success in New Zealand or success in China or success in America, and sharing that out to all of the other members so you can start replicating the success being achieved in those places within your own environment. We've also been working on running events, as I mentioned earlier, and we'll have a very big event in October in Paris. And then there's been lots of things like PR and articles, podcasts, developing industry publications, and so on. So it's been a very active industry association, but the focus is all about understanding what the future broadband looks like, understanding what industry needs, and understanding the economic argument that surrounds broadband so that governments and financial organizations and so on can make the decisions to invest in next generation broadband and remove the barriers to the rollout of next generation broadband.
Absolutely. And Martin, it sounds like you're very much raising awareness of your what you guys do. Obviously this event coming up in Paris later this year sounds very exciting. You're saying obviously podcasts, you know, even speaking to us is a great way of sort of highlighting what you do. But I can't overlook your experience. You know, you've been in the telecoms industry since the 80s, you're saying. That must help a lot with what you're trying to achieve and the people that you can speak to. And so how does your experience help you with doing this? Because this is there's a lot to unpick in the telecoms industry, so you must need to know a lot. And I think, you must be the perfect guy for that, surely.
Yeah, I mean, you're quite right in that experience counts for a lot. I think there's two types of experience. First of all, there's the network of people in the industry. And like all industries, telecom industry is an industry made up of relationships between people. And people move from one company to another company, but they stay in the industry, or they move from a supplier to a buyer type of role, but they're still in the industry. So relationships are hugely important. And people, and understanding the things that are driving them, which you mentioned earlier on that, God, the industry must have changed a lot since 1986. Now, at one level it has, but at some levels, nothing ever changes. You know, there's still people out there trying to do a good job, trying to make money, trying to understand the best technologies, the best approaches, the best operational structures. So that really helps. The other aspect of my experience that has been really valuable over the last year is my experience in being the president and CEO of the TM Forum, because setting up an industry organization that is structured in a way that is fair to all the members incentivizes the members to contribute time and effort and money into its activities. It's really a lot of time has gone into making sure our policies and bylaws are all the right sort of are structured in a really fair way, that our board is structured in a really fair way, decision making is done in a really fair way, because an industry association is not like a company. It's a non-profit organization. Its goal isn't to make money. Its goal is to do some of the other things I've been talking about over the last sort of 20 or 30 minutes. It's about building an organization that everybody can trust, everybody can bring ideas to, and that they trust that organization will advocate on their behalf to all the stakeholders. It's an organization that can bring, you know, quite frankly, traditionally competitive companies to all sit around the same table, because they can all see a benefit in cooperating within the bounds of the WBBA. And the same is true from the TM Forum in my background, or GSMA, or Broadband Forum. It's a way, each of those organizations has a role in bringing people together who would normally compete with each other, and getting them to cooperate because there's a shared benefit and goal. And it's if you don't set everything up to be demonstrably fair and open and transparent, then it becomes very difficult to actually achieve your goals. So we spend a lot of time on that. So there's an element of knowing the right people and being able to bring them to the table. And then it's also been knowing how to construct that framework for the WBBA so that it will last for many years and people can trust it legally and you know, in every other aspect.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You made some really good points there, for sure. Also, I've noticed on your website that there's a number of members on board, including big names such as Nokia, Huawei, and multiple operators. What's the process for membership, and does the WBBA have a set target it wants to get on board this year?
Yeah, I mean, the process for membership is it's open to any company in the broadband industry. And I described earlier what I see as the broadband industry, that group of stakeholders, ranging from the supply side operators and their traditional suppliers to the demand side, you know, vertical industries and investment players and governments and so on. And even though we're in the early stages, you will see that, you know, there are pretty much, you know, we tick pretty much every box in terms of getting participants from all the different stakeholder groups. We've got a long way to go, but we are starting it in that way. When you mentioned in terms of targets for membership, I think about targets as a matrix, because across the top of the matrix is all of those different stakeholders I've been mentioning. I want operators, I want suppliers, I want gaming companies, I want investment banks, I want governments, you know, and so on. And then the rows in this matrix are all the different parts of the world, because we are the World Broadband Association. And so for me, it's not just about the volume of membership during 2023, 2024, 2025. It is really about, can I fill every single box in that matrix? Have we got good representation, quality representation of all the different stakeholder groups from all the different parts of the world? And when that fills, that then we're really going to start seeing a fabulous dynamic start to emerge. There's in terms of joining, as I say, any member, any company can join. It's not really for people to join, it's for companies to join. And all they have to do is to sign up to our bylaws, our articles of association. And there is a membership fee that is currently being structured at the moment by the board, but there will be a membership fee, and that will be a higher membership fee for the $10 billion plus companies and a very small membership fee for the small companies. And then if things like academic institutions and so on, there won't be any membership fee for those non-profit focused organizations. So that, you know, so it's very straightforward, open to everyone, and a relatively simple process of joining.
Fantastic. We'll be keeping on top of the members as they come and join the group. Just sort of finally then, really, obviously we spoke about challenges earlier on. What would you say are the big opportunities for broadband providers for being part of this collective, really?
Yeah, I think it's for all the various players and stakeholders in the industry. But when you talk about the big opportunities for them, number one for me would be anytime you engage an industry association and you actually engage, you learn a lot about the expertise across the world. And so I think one of the big opportunities is to learn from your peers on excellence in broadband rollout, in broadband application, in understanding the phasing of what needs to be rolled out, in understanding the arguments that you can structure and put to your governments, to your investors, and so on. So from the broadband operators per se, I think that's a big opportunity. I think from the key suppliers look at this as a way of putting their weight behind helping to break down barriers that are delaying the rollout of broadband. Because if broadband rolls out, that rising tide raises all ships, and the supply side then compete with each other to see who gets business in that. I think from the demand side, vertical industries and consumer businesses, I think what you will find is that they will finally have a place where they can put their requirements to in a coherent fashion, because an awful lot of these organizations will be stretching across multiple regions of the world. They will need to be rolling out broadband capabilities, not just in the UK and Ireland, but also France, Germany, Brazil, the US, Australia. And so what they want is a uniformity of approach from the operators across the world and how they're providing broadband. And if you're a metaverse player or a big gaming player or one of the big hyperscalers, what you need is broadband not to be a barrier to you rolling out the next level of capability that you believe in. And so you need to be able to, again, like a vertical industry, express your requirements in a coherent fashion to one group, and that group can be engaged with in order to get those requirements out into the broader industry. And then from governments and investors, they will be able to come to the World Broadband Association to really help themselves construct the arguments, the economic arguments around broadband as a national good. Investing in broadband as a national good compared to investing in roads as a national good, compared to investing in a water network or electric grid network. I mean, that's the level of discussion that is going on at government levels. And so how can they understand the value of investing in broadband compared to the other major investments that they will need to do in order to move their country forward to deliver economic benefit for their countries? And so everybody has slightly different arguments for why they want to engage in an industry association, whether it gives them more chance to do business, gives them more chance to remove roadblocks, gives them more chance to understand the business case and the business model, or it just gives them somewhere, a single place to download requirements into, with the expectation that those now have a better chance of being acted upon because the requirements are being, you know, put into this central organization that has tendrils into every part of the industry. So that's the reason why companies and governments and investment banks should be getting involved in the WBBA.
Yeah, absolutely. It sounds like there's a lot of opportunities for them, and it sounds like there'll be a lot of collaboration as a result of this as well, which I think is obviously very important. I think that's one of the criticisms sometimes of the telecoms industry as a whole. There's not always enough collaboration. We have seen that this year. There's been a lot more collaboration around Open RAN, which I think is a really good thing for...
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially with things like 5G. But no, it's been great to find out a bit more about the WBBA and its work. For those broadband providers listening, it'd be great to get your take on the WBBA. So feel free to get in touch with us at DCD. But Martin, thank you so much for your time today and for joining me. And I look forward to speaking with you again soon. Hopefully see you in Paris later this year.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It'd be great. And looking forward to it. And, you know, if for any of your listeners who are interested in finding out more, just reach out to the worldbroadbandassociation.com. Reach out to me. I'm sure you can put up some details of how to connect to me. And we can get a conversation going.
Sounds great. Cheers, Martin. Thank you.
Brilliant. Take care, Paul.
You too.
Sustainability is no longer a nice to have. It's a priority. Vertiv Power, cooling and IT management solutions for critical infrastructure are designed to reduce the use of energy, water, and space. From innovative liquid cooling to dynamic grid services, we work hand in hand with customers to enable them to meet their data center sustainability goals. Visit us at vertiv.com and see what we can do for you.
Thanks for listening to the Zero Downtime podcast, brought to you in partnership with Vertiv, the world's leading critical digital infrastructure provider. Don't forget to like this podcast and subscribe to our channel. We'll see you again next time.